بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, it was the 10th year of Hijrah, 10 years after the Hijrah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in Medina. And he sent two of his most beloved and dearest Sahaba to Yemen. One was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, and the other one was Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. Yemen was divided into two parts, northern and southern. So he sent one of them each to these two provinces. Both of them young people. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was also a beautiful qari of the Quran. Mu'adh bin Jabal was one of the closest Sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, young man, one of the most learned. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised his knowledge, and very handsome, very personable man. So Rasulullah is sending him off. Mu'adh bin Jabal, he asked him to mount his horse. He was on the horse. Rasulullah held the bridle and he's leading him out of Medina on the road to Yemen. And see the whole, imagine the picture. Rasulullah is giving advice. He is also testing his knowledge. So he asked him, he said, "Ya Mu'adh, how will you judge between the people?" Because this is part of his work there as the Qadi. He said, "How will you judge between the people?" Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said, "Ya Rasulullah, I will judge between the people based on the Kitab of Allah, on the Book of Allah." So Rasulullah said to him, "What if you don't find the answer in the Kitab of Allah?" Meaning, if there is no direct ayah about something, what will you do? He said, "I will look in your sunnah. I will look in your teachings, in your ahadith." On a side note, this is one of the many, many evidences that the ahadith of Nabawiyyah Sharifa were recorded and collected and preserved in the life of Rasulullah himself. Among some of the so-called educated Muslims, and I say so-called because this is a fitna I've found only in those people, they have taken and swallowed the lies of the Orientalists who said that the ahadith were collected only 150 years after Rasulullah passed away. So when somebody told me this, I asked him a very simple question. I said, "Do me a favor. In this room, collect for me the number of diamonds." He said, "There are no diamonds." I said, "Exactly. If somebody says you collected something, it means it was there. Otherwise, how did they collect?" Even the Orientalists don't say that Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim and so on, they wrote up something by themselves. They don't say that. They say they collected. How do you collect if it is not there? But you know, they say, "Mafi mokh," what to do? So anyway, to come back to the story. So he said, "How will you judge between the people?" He said, "By the Kitab of Allah." He said, "If you don't find the answer there, what will you do?" He said, "I will see and look in your sunnah." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "If you do not find the answer even there, what will you do?" He said, "I will consult with the scholars, other people of knowledge." In this case, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and maybe other people. And he said, "Supposing you are alone, there is nobody there, then what will you do?" He said, "I will use my intelligence, qiyas." Now these are the four principles, incidentally, these are the four principles on which the istinbadul ahkam, the getting of the rulings in our sharia, is based on these four things: Kitabullah, Sunnat Rasulillah, Ijma' wa Qiyas. the book of Allah, the Sunnah of Rasulullah, Ijma', which is the consensus of the scholars, and Qiyas, which is deductive reasoning by a scholar, not by anybody. Ijtihad by somebody who is trained and capable and educated and qualified to make ijtihad. It's like doing an operation, right? I mean, you can't say, please come lie down, give me a knife. No. You have to be trained. You have to go undergo the training and whatnot and be certified. Then you can do an operation. So he said this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Ya Mu'ad, you are going to a people of the book, Ahlul Kitab, because the Yemenis were Christian. He said, you are going to a people of the book. He said, call them to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, the last and final one. Call them to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. If they accept, meaning now they have become Muslim. Tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made salah fard on them 5 times a day. So it's not simply telling them, meaning then teach them salah. How to pray, so on, so on. He said, when they start praying, then tell them about zakat and take zakat from their wealthy people and give it to their poor people. See the amazing wisdom and the beauty of this hidayah of Rasulullah. He says, take it from their wealthy people. He didn't say, take it from their wealthy people and send it to Medina. No. He said, take it from their wealthy people and give it to their poor people. Then he says, be aware of their best things and do not take them. Take something which is awsat, which is good, but it is not their best. So don't take trash, but also don't take their most beloved and best things. Now see the amazing wisdom of this. First of all, in stages, not the whole data dump on one at one go. Stages. First, Tawheed, after that Salah, which is the proof of Tawheed. How do I know that I am on La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? By my salah. If I am not praying, then I don't know whether I am on the shahada or not. Because I say Allah is worthy of worship, but I don't worship Allah, then where is the shahada? So, shahada, salah is the proof of shahada. So, shahada, Tawheed, salah, and then zakat. Now, see the beauty of this advice. In any society, and this is across the world, any society, any time, the wealthy people will always be fewer than the poor people. Poor people always will be majority, wealthy will always be few. Now, because the wealthy are few and because of their lifestyle and so on and so forth, they will be isolated from the poor. They will not live in the same area, same localities. They will live in better areas, bigger houses. And depending on the country and so on, maybe the house will have a big compound wall around it. Maybe it will have security. Maybe it has this, that, whatnot. All of this. So there is a separation. Also, there is some resentment usually among the poor people looking at the wealthy people. Oh my God, this fellow has got this big house. Why does he need this big car? He's flying in a plane. All this. This advice of Mr. Salam, take from their wealthy, give to their poor. So first of all, nobody can complain that here is somebody who came and he is taking our wealth away and sending it somewhere. No. Your wealth is still in your own place. In your own community. It's coming from your wealthy going to the poor. Number one. Number two, because of that now, the poor people say, Wallah, this man, this big lord, this big rais, he never gave anything. Now he's giving. So he's a nice man. So there is a meeting of the hearts. There is friendship between the wealthy and the poor. Third thing is, when the wealthy actually take the money, they go and give it to the poor, their hearts also will be soft. Somebody will say, you know what, I'm supposed to give 2.5%, but really my 2.5% won't help these people. They need more. I have more, I will give more. So wealth is spread out more. Then very importantly, the poor people, they will think, how come, why is this man, he never gave anything till now, now he is giving? Why? Because of Islam. What changed? Because he became Muslim. Until now he was not giving. He was here. His father was here. His grandfather was. Nobody gave. But this man is giving. Because he became Muslim. So now the doors of the hearts of the people are open to Islam because of this. The beauty of the advice. And then finally Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, don't take from their best. Because the wealthy man, you know, maybe he's got this beautiful car he has got, or he's got these jewels in the house. Maybe in those days they had horses and so on. So he got this fantastic stallion. He said, no, give me this horse. No, leave it to him. He's okay. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given him, blessed him, let him enjoy it. Let him be with that. Take something which is of less value, but take it. Although having said that, we know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah said, you cannot reach the highest level of piety, al-birr, until you spend from your wealth, what? That which you love the most, the best. But this is infiradi. This is for the individual. It's your choice. You want to pray tahajjud, alhamdulillah. But it's not fard on you. But for tahajjud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will come to the first heaven. Allah does not come to the first heaven for Salatul Isha. He does not come to the first heaven for Salatul Dhuhr. But this is fard. So pray Salatul Dhuhr and Asr and Fajr and Maghrib and Isha. But if you really want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wake up for tahajjud. Do more. Extra. There is benefit in doing more. But that is left to the individual. If somebody does not pray tahajjud, he will not go to Jahannam. But if he does not pray for salah, he's got trouble. But if he prays tahajjud, alhamdulillah. You know, we say the last ashar of Ramadan and the odd nights and Laylatul Qadr. When I think about this, there is Laylatul Qadr for the Muslim every night. The whole year is Laylatul Qadr because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending to the first heaven. Allah is asking, who wants something? Ask me, we ask him. This is Laylatul Qadr. From the perspective, from the angle of the dua, it is like qadr. Alhamdulillah. But this is infaradi. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, no, leave that to them. Let them do if they want to do. Alhamdulillah. Somebody says, no, I want to give you my best. Okay, no problem. Give. Alhamdulillah. But I will not ask for it. I will not take it from you. See the beauty. Now, to close and complete, these are the principles of Da'watul Islam. When we give da'wah to people, these are the principles. Softness, stage by stage, one by one. Don't make it difficult on them. Make it easy on them. Make it easy does not mean break the rules. No. You don't make haram into halal. No. What is haram is haram. But at the same time, you don't make it difficult. You try to be as cooperative as possible, as kind as possible. And the whole of Yemen became Muslim. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take lessons from the seerah of Rasulullah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent specifically for that reason. He sent his Rasul to be emulated, to be learned from, and he put barakah in his life, in studying that, in emulating it, in bringing it into our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.